Go to Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10 initially here. And we're going to look at some things here I think that'll be, I think, very important for us as believers to grasp so that we can fulfill our calling in our lives. Diane, do you mind asking the blessing upon the lesson tonight, please? Amen. There was a missionary to India who was called, who earned this title, Praying Hyde. And he was known for being heard to pray, "Father, give me souls or I die." He had an insatiable desire to reach people for the kingdom of God. And once we find Christ in salvation, again, too many of us lose our zeal to share the Lord Jesus Christ with others. And when we first get saved, we want everyone to know, don't we? But what happens is we get comfortable hanging around with other Christians instead of looking for ways to share Christ with those who are without Christ. And, you know, we have to be very careful of that. We have to always have the vision of the harvest fields that Jesus spoke of. And we have to regularly rekindle that in our hearts, because if we don't, it's really easy to become desensitized to that calling. I'd like to look at three different things in the text that we're looking at here. I hope that we can, by looking at that, those three different things, kind of stir our hearts here to reach those who are without the Lord, and that need saving, that need the message of Jesus Christ. Verses 6 through 10. Now when they had gone through Phrygia in the regions of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. And so passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And the vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia to help us. Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now again, the first thing I want to point out is the fact that truly believe that every Christian is called to be a part of the Great Commission. And again, Paul here, he has this supernatural vision of this man beckoning him to come over to Macedonia to help him. More than ever, the church as a whole needs a vision today. I really believe that. You might even say that the church needs a mission from God. Anybody here ever see the Blues Brothers? We're on a mission from God. But we really need a mission from God. And you can call it a goal, you can call it a direction. But the truth is, what I see happening everywhere, it seems like churches have just simply grown stagnant because they're not moving. That's what happened to water. Water, whenever it's stagnant, you know, it's because it's not moving water. And in the scriptures, the water represents the Spirit. And Spirit was, you know, given to us to flow and to flow freely. And we need to fulfill our call and allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to flow freely in us and through us. The King James Version of Proverbs 29 and 18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." And I think there's a couple of different ways that you can take this. Where there is no vision, it's the people that are potential people who could come to Christ perish because the people who aren't receiving the vision neglect to go to fulfill the vision, you see? Now, I believe God's people are usually willing to move whenever they get that vision. But it seems like lately that people have become so self-absorbed in our culture that they have a hard time hearing from God. Now, a lot of that's partly because of, you know, the ministry, the clergy, you might say, for not putting more emphasis on missions and praying for God's direction and actually getting people to really think about spending time listening for God's voice within them. And there needs to be this fundamental question that's put forward in every church. Why is the church here? And why are you and I here as an individual? What's our mission? And why did God leave us here on the earth in the first place? Listen, if we can't answer these questions, then we lack vision. And we are destined just to wander in this life aimlessly. Doesn't mean we're lost, but it means that we've lost our purpose. And we have a purpose. Jesus describes the urgency of reaching the lost in John 4, verse 35 through 38. He says, "Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes." Pay attention is basically what he's saying. Lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. He who reaps receives wages and gathers a fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I have sent you to reap that which you have not labored, for which you have not labored, others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. Now, one of the things I do want you to notice about this, though, is that Jesus doesn't say that there's a shortage of lost souls, but there's a shortage of workers or laborers. As I said, I believe every Christian has the Great Commission. This just wasn't to the disciples. 5 times in the New Testament, it records Jesus gave some form of this Great Commission. I want to share them with you right now. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Then in Mark 16, 15 and 16, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned." It's the same chapter where he talks about the gifts, you know. "These signs shall follow them that believe." God's given us these gifts for the purpose of getting us motivated to go out and share the gospel. Luke 24, verse 46 through 48 says, "Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things." Then finally in the book of John, chapter 20 through 21, "And so Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father sent me, I also send you." Now, other than the gospel, there is one other verse in Acts 1 and 8. It says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." See, God has given us the power and the gifts to equip us to be an effective minister of witnessing the gospel to folks. "And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That covers everything. Now, there's 5 different times we've pointed out in Scripture. I'm of a mind that whenever God speaks one time, we should listen. Don't you think? But God's called you and I, and this whole church is collectively, you know, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, sending it to every corner of the earth, if need be, within our capability and our ability. And I believe that's all that God expects. What's your capability? We're to do this so that people can come to faith, so that they can be baptized and discipled and brought into spiritual maturity, so that they too can carry on the same mission of sharing that message to other people. I think that one of the problems today is what we shared with you this morning, is that the world has so influenced the church that they have become complacent in the commission. And one of the signs of the fact that the world has so influenced the church is there's no persecution. There's nobody speaking evil of you or what have you. I think one of the things that really gets the church moving is persecution. I think it is whenever a church rises up, begins to share the truth, point out people's sins. And of course, the world says, oh, don't judge me. No, the spiritual man judges all things, but he's rightly judged of no one. Our purpose is to judge people, or rather to share the Word of God, which judges people. It's not us who judge people, but it's the Word of God. And when you share that light upon people's lives, again, they're going to persecute you. They're going to hate you. But that's what gets the church moving, I believe. Now, the second thing I want to point out here is that the fact this man asked Paul to come over, and he said it in a pleading voice, come and help us. In verse 9, it says, the vision appeared to Paul at night, a man of Macedonia who stood and pleaded with him, come to Macedonia and help us. I think way too often we have a tendency to think and assume that those who are lost are happy without Christ. They're not. Believe me, they are not. This life is full of sadness. Listen to what Job said in Job 4 and 1. Man who is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. Boy, howdy. Marriages fall apart. Husbands and wives bicker, fight. They're unfaithful. Again, like we said this morning, the divorce rate is like 50%. That's with Christians even. Jobs are lost. Loved ones die before their time. There's never enough money. Children go off the deep end, and you know, and parents feel like all of a sudden that there's a tsunami of problems that's coming against them. You've probably heard this from other believers, and I've even said it myself. I'm so grateful I have Jesus. I don't know what people would do without the Lord. Well, the truth is, they don't do good. They don't do well at all. We all too often look at the outside of what people are presenting to us, and they look like they're okay to us, but that's not true. We don't see what's inside them. We don't see what's going on behind the scenes. If you look at the statistics, it's not a very pretty picture. It's a grim picture. You know, people are hooked on all kinds of stimulants and sedatives and things that are prescribed to them just to help them get through the day or the night. Psychologists' offices are just jam-packed. I mean, people's lives are sad. And everywhere people live with tragedy. The gospel really is the only hope. And God has called us to be hope peddlers. We are to share the Word of God, to give hope to people. And people, folks, they will never ever be satisfied without God in their lives, no matter what they do. They may try to cover and to salve their pain, but it'll always be there. They always feel that there's something missing because God, in fact, has created us to be in fellowship with Him. And without Christ, we will always feel a sense of estrangement from the Creator. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 57, verse 20 through 21, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. David would say in Psalm 62 and 5, he'd say, my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. And I happen to like how it says it in the New International Version here. In Psalm 62 and 5, it says, yes, my soul find rest in God, my hope comes from Him. That's really where people are going to find hope for their hurting and their pain. Truth is, as Christians, we should have the answer to them and for them. Only Jesus can improve lives. And folks, we have to tell them. Remember, Jesus said this in John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives to you, I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. That's the message we need to give people. They need to know that there's hope outside of the means of this world. Now, notice that Paul said that it was a man pleading. It wasn't an angel. It wasn't the voice of God that was pleading. And I believe what God wants to impress upon us is the fact that we are to be concerned about people. I think a lot of times people get saved and they say, you know, bless us for no more and stay within the four walls of their church. And that's a tragedy. Because God's called us to the Great Commission. Jim?
Well, also one of the enemy's tricks is to keep us so caught up in our own stuff that we don't have the energy or feel like we don't have the energy or the time to be the witnesses that he's called us to be.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right. Yep. I mean, we talked about the world this morning, how the world tries to enter into the church and people have picked up on the world culture. God's called us to be mindful of the souls of men. It's not about the pursuit of fun or entertainment, the accumulation of money or material things, but people's need for God alone. There was a missionary who was waiting in the pastor's office. When the pastor entered in, the missionary commented, "You have an impressive library." And just as the proud young preacher was about to agree, the missionary said, "Too bad, it's all going to be burned up someday." So you know what? The same truth is true about our cars, our furniture, stereo, computer, house, and all the money that you might have in the bank. It's all going to burn up someday. So why don't we invest in something that's more worthwhile? Why do we invest so much into what is just temporal? Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't want us to have fun. He doesn't want us to save for our future and have nice things. But the question is, our primary focus should always be on God and His kingdom and adding people to the kingdom of God. Because that's our call. And God wants us not only to be in heaven with Him, but He wants to bring others with us.
I think Hollywood and the music industry and all that is a perfect example. All these people, they have everything. All this, you know, all the lust and sex and money and drugs. And you look at the beginning of their lives and the way they end their lives, it's for nothing.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Which means that your soul, a person's soul, is more valuable than anything.
That's right. Absolutely right. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It's this different word there. You know, it's not talking about the world system. It's actually talking about the people of this world, you see. We are to bear that fruit. It is a fruit that God's looking for. Winning souls. I've shared this with you a few weeks ago in Romans 1, verse 13. It says, "Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you, just as among the other Gentiles." James chapter 5, verse 7 talks about the harvest this way. He said, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord, and see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it, until it receives the early and the latter rain." Now certainly, God pours out His Spirit and He puts that hunger and that thirst into the hearts and lives of believers, but we have to be ready to be there to harvest them. Amen? 1 Timothy 1:15 says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." He cares for people. Jesus so loved people, we ought to love them too. Because that's what we're called to do, be like Him. And so I believe it's high time that the church awoke out of its sleep and we started to do things that God created us to do. Years ago in England, there was a shortage of silver. The fellow named Cromwell, probably heard of him. One day, someone came to him and said, "There is no more silver. We can't mint any coins until we get some more silver." And it was explained that the only silver that it could be found was in the statues of the saints found in the churches. To which Cromwell said, "Well then, melt down the saints and put them into circulation." What a good idea. That's what we need right now. We need to be put into circulation. And again, the third thing we want to look at is the fact that we need to absolutely consider God's field. Look around you and see that it is ripe for the harvest. Again, Acts 16 and 10 says, "Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them." When the Holy Spirit pointed Paul and his team to go to Macedonia, he was pointing them to the vineyard to which they were called to work and the place they were to serve. And when they realized that, they were eager to go. And that's what was in Paul's heart, to be in God's vineyard, to be a working laborer, to see a great ingathering of people into Christ's kingdom. Well, again, did you know that you have a vineyard also? God has a place where the lost are calling out to us as well. And God's calling us to go and tell them the good news. When Paul got his Macedonian call, Luke records that immediately they endeavored to go to Macedonia. And again, sadly, many Christians are too busy with earthly pursuits and the things of this world that they can't see any kind of urgency about their neighbors going into eternity without Christ. What a tragedy. Many of us get along great with our family and our friends and our neighbors and coworkers. We talk about sports, hunting, fishing, cars. Women talk about their kids and home. Even come together, talk about politics, and we even barbecue together. But we've got to ask ourselves, have we ever taken the time to really share our faith with people that we're acquainted to? Have we invited them to church? Now, I say this in light of eternity. It doesn't matter who's going to win the Super Bowl. It really, in the long run, it doesn't matter. People forget the next year. And it doesn't matter how big a buck you kill. People forget about that as well. Doesn't matter how good your golf game is or whatever you do. Frisbee golf, whatever it is, nothing. Doesn't matter. Notice also Luke said that they concluded that the Lord had called them to preach the gospel to them. You see, the vision that Paul and his team had, it's referred to as the Macedonian call. And again, we have a call too. You can call it the Blue Lake call. You can call it the Humboldt County call. You can call it the North Coast call. It might not have the same ring to it, but God help us to answer that call. Amen. Everyone here tonight, and I believe we're all in the mission field, but the truth is everyone is either a mission field or they are a missionary. You either need to be saved or you're called to tell others about being saved. Let me share a story with you that I read about a young chaplain named Jeff. When Jeff was in Bible college, he was assigned by a professor to witness three times and write a report on each witnessing encounter and turn them in by a certain due date. The due date arrived, but Jeff was one witnessing encounter short of his assignment. Where could he find some young people to witness to? Jeff asked himself. He remembered that the pier at Lake Michigan always had some young couples strolling on it about this time. He went there, and there was a young man and woman on the pier. He walked up to them, told them of his assignment, and asked them if they could help him out by listening to his presentation, and they agreed. And as he went through the four spiritual laws tract, explaining each step of salvation, the young lady got tears in her eyes. She said, "I've been searching for this all my life. I go to church sometimes, but I didn't know the steps of salvation." In the concluding prayer, she wept her way to God. Her name was written in gold in the Lamb's Book of Life. Her destination changed from hell to heaven, all because Jeff was required to fulfill an assignment for his class. And if I gave you guys an assignment here tonight, think about that. Three people. We could do that, can't we? Daryl was telling me that there's a church in McKinleyville that's offering classes on how to prophesy so people can become prophets. And they're actually charging some money for that, I believe. At least that's what Daryl told me. But it seems to me that if we're going to fulfill our calling, learning how to witness is far more important and should be desired more than anything else. After all, Romans 10, verse 14 and 15 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." Again, I wonder if I could challenge us here tonight to go out this week and witness to at least 3 people. Maybe we can make an increase in God's harvest. Do we need a vision from God or a reaffirmation of the original one? So why did God choose certain doors to open and other doors he chose to close? That's another question we've got to ask. And I just have a certain opinion about that. If the fulfillment of the calling were left up to us, most likely people would choose the easiest way. Don't you think? It's always that way. One of the things that I've admired about Trent at the embassy is the fact that when they first bought that church, there were those who told him, "Oh, don't do it, that's in such a bad neighborhood." And Trent didn't listen because he wasn't looking for those that he deemed worthy because of their social condition. He was looking for those who were broken, for those who are outcast, to fulfill the Great Commission. And sometimes God closes doors because he has called us to go to the hard places, to the places where little love is shown. And I like to look at it like this. We are to be a light. Did you ever notice that a light shines the brightest in the darkest places? Something to think about. I thank the Lord that he's put us at the mission. Denny is doing a wonderful work there with the men in the morning. Jim coming over and helping out, and other men who are coming to help out. You just never know what is going to be the fruit of your labor. But I believe you're doing something, and that's important. It's so important. And I know that there's more that we can do as well. And hopefully, as we gain that vision from the Lord, as we see maybe a man or a woman calling out to us, we know that that's what we're called to do. We'll step out immediately and endeavor to go where God wants us to go. Because we do have a purpose. We have a reason for being here. And it's not just to fulfill our lusts and our desires of the flesh. It is to reach people with the kingdom message. Any questions or thoughts?